I gave the lady a couple of minutes to go get some water.
Okay. And does he have the recorder?
Yes, he's already turned it on.
Oh, that's so much better. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Very sharp, very sharp. Are you taking this class, Sally? Very good. And Jane?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Pretty sleepy, got up early this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Bet you did.
Did you get your,
Do we have a handout? No.
Yes, handout's up here.
Oh, okay, I didn't get.
I'll get it for you.
I can.
I'll get one for Carolyn too.
Oh, okay.
There she is.
I just forgot to grab something, right? So you're in the office real quick.
Do you need a pen? I have a pen.
I know, I'm just paralyzed about my purse, and my purse is upstairs. Get that one.
It's chilly in here.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Well, I left my sweater in the other, it's behind the thing where Kelly is.
Oh, I still have my coat on.
I know.
I'm okay. Did it work?
I don't know yet.
Not to step on the sun, right?
There's still some.
Yeah, it works.
There was some that I had already eaten at home, so.
Do you keep it?
You can keep it.
Thank you.
Make what the corn get.
Ladies, my name is Christina McConnell, and I am the Child Evangelism Fellowship. And I consider it my privilege to be here with you today. And I'm grateful for Miss Sally and Miss Jane to invite me here and to even be in our class today. Mm-hmm. So this is a great opportunity for each of you. The message at the General Assembly was a great message.
Yes, challenging.
Yes, I never fail to enjoy and feel a little bit beat up after I meet Pastor Steph. Oh. In a good way, in a very, very good way.
Good exhortation. Well, we're from Radius Time, Pomona, and Ontario, and I'm also from the State Board.
Okay, wonderful. And Miss Mash?
Oh, I'm Wawita.
Also from the State Board.
Also from the State Board. Okay, so
I'm on the Board of School Ministry.
Okay. We're in what area? What area?
Release Time.
Okay, so Southern California?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, our session today is, can you all see that okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Our session today is called Final Authority, Why Evangelize Children? There's a little, we have plenty of time. Do we really need to do that today?
Yes.
Now, their grandparents can, or their parents can, or their Aunt Susie can do that. Why do I have to do that, right? What are you looking for, dear?
Yeah, a pen or pencil. I thought I had it, but I lost it. A pen or anything to write with.
I think there's one here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there might be one up there.
All right.
See if that works.
I'll put it back. Thank you so much.
Okay, sorry.
Everybody good? Are you good? Miss Nash?
Yeah.
Where was I? Let's start from the beginning. No, I'm just kidding. Final authority. Why evangelize children? Well, it's a good question. They're so small, they can barely tie their shoes, or they can barely, they're not even in school yet. Or
what do they understand?
What do they understand? What do they know about sin as they're beating on their sister? Yeah, brother, sister. Well, God commanded it. God commanded his disciples to preach the gospel to whom? Every creature. Mark 6:15 says, go and teach it to everyone. Not just the chosen, not just the ones we feel comfortable with, not just the ones we know or are related to, but to every creature. That doesn't mean your puppies and your doggies. That means to every human, whatever the age, young, 1 year old or 101 years old. God's love is for every individual in the world. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world,
the
whole world. And that's not the trees, the rocks and the trees. That's each person, mm-hmm. each heart that beats mm-hmm. in his creation, his human creation. Mm-hmm. Salvation is not given with age limits. John 3:16 says, whoever believes, and John 1:12 says, as many as received him. Romans 10:13 says, who shall call upon the Lord? Whoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Very good. Children are lost. They have a sinful nature. Of course, once they get saved, they will no longer have that sinful nature, correct?
Well, yes, they will.
Good answer.
Even adults.
That's right. They will always have that sinful nature.
Me and my coffee.
I'm going to move this chair back here.
I don't want to spill it. Thank you so much.
Children, people will always have that sinful nature until we reach glory.
Right.
And we go into his presence. We will have that sinful nature. And children, they haven't been taught. They haven't been, they don't know, they haven't been disciplined yet.
It's kind of like Steph said in his message.
Yes.
A two-year-old wants it now. Wants what he wants right now.
Yes. And a 22.
Right.
And a 62. Plus add a couple more, few more years on that. And even still, I want my own way. I was sharing with my team that my husband's a chaplain for the military. And they called us back. We were leaving on Sunday. We have a church on the base. And they were calling us back after we sat in the parking lot and we made our plan for after church. And we were halfway down, 2 miles down the road, and they called us back for somebody who had wanted to, said they wanted to kill themselves. Excuse me. And, excuse me. Oh my.
You just weren't.
You sound like me.
So, we agree that as we turn around, he's apologizing, and I say, hey, this is what we agreed to when we got married, that we would be mission-minded. So we get there, and I know to be praying for him. Because I don't know, we don't know what he's headed in for. And then I'm with the colonels and all the big leaders that be. I'm hearing them discuss that. They invited me to come over with them, and I can hear them discuss that. And I'm trying to pray. I'm praying, and then I'm listening to them. And I'm getting upset because they had already made assumptions and passed judgment and done all these things about this woman that they don't know any, they didn't even know her name. And now, and then I, okay, Lord, and then I'm back. And then I'm, I sat there for 2 hours. Finally, I got up and moved because I didn't really need to hear what they were talking about. Their leadership, they're looking at all the possibilities. Their military, that they're their own thing. But what I found as, and then the following Tuesday, we were doing devotions at the office, and they were talking about seeing things from God's viewpoint and from our viewpoint. And I realized that that Sunday, I had sat there and trying to look at it from God's viewpoint and praying for my husband, and then back and forth, like those two little monsters that, two little angels that sit on your shoulder.
One good and one bad.
Oh my gosh. And I'm thinking, Lord, help me. And then I forgot about praying for all of them and said, Lord, help me, because I am in all kinds of directions. So whatever our age is, we can fall back into a familiar pattern. And I never did get that giant hamburger I was waiting for. But that's okay. The children need awareness of their condition before God. Not before us, not for us, for our benefit or for the parents' benefit, but so that they would know how God sees them. One, he sees them with great love, whether they're doing right or not doing right. God sees them with great love. And we don't want to beat them down with that sin.
No.
But we do want to make sure that they know that what sin is.
Right. Right.
It is interesting teaching release time. When you get to the lesson about your salvation, I say to the kids, long years ago, I would say to the kids, are you perfect? Have you never done anything bad? Have you ever not obeyed your parents or hit your brother or sister? So their answer at first is, I'm really good. But when they hear those options, it's not so good.
Because most kids don't know what sin is until you teach them.
And that's why I
tell mine, if you take a piece of gum that's not yours, or a friend's toy that's not yours, that is stealing. And stealing is a sin.
Yeah. What about taking that piece of gum and
putting it under
the desk?
That's another one. It's a different problem.
Yeah, I know. Just thought I'd throw that one in there for good measure. When I first came to Christ, a lady brought me from Child Evangelism and Calvary Chapel Downey, and she came alongside me. And she says, isn't it hard to quit sinning? And I said, oh no, because I wasn't
your
doing
nature.
The big thing that I used to do.
Right.
No, I'm good, you know.
Right.
Piece of cake.
Yeah.
Because God took many things, just took them right from me, didn't miss them, just, okay.
Delivered you from them.
Delivered, yeah.
Yeah,
and
that's what it was.
Haven't looked back. But I told her, no, it's, you know, God took it, and it's, my sin is gone.
He changed our desire to loving him
and,
more than sin.
Right. Exactly. And then as I grew in Christ, I thought, oh man, what a wicked woman I am. Lord, who can save me? And, you know, and of course he had that answer.
Yeah.
We grow. We're growing. And I was already over 40. I was just 40 when I came to Christ. And the children, they're even smaller. They haven't lived in our lives. They haven't lived any life. They're just know what they know or from around them. They need to be made aware of their condition. The Bible needs to commands us to evangelize everybody. This means we are required to evangelize children in a thorough and biblical way. Thorough and biblical way. And leave the question of regeneration in the hands of God. I don't know why these notes don't look right. They're not my notes. Now we got the good stuff. Titus 3:5 talks about grace. And Ezekiel 36:26 says he will give us a new heart and a new spirit. And the children may not understand that, but we need to find the words at their level that they will understand it.
Yes, amen.
In a thorough biblical way. Sometimes we find that our way is better, but we want to, does it line up with scripture? And also, when they're irritating us like crazy, because they're having a bad day, that we're showing them love, like Pastor Steph was talking about, that we're still showing them love.
Right.
Even our eyeballs are popping out, and we got to bring them back in and put that smile on our face and let God fill us with that love.
Amen.
Because it does happen.
Yeah.
If we get up and start the day, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, what a wonderful day. And then somebody, you know, the car neighbor blocked my driveway, and now I can't get out, and I have to be somewhere at a certain time. Move your car. No. You know, that I just blew out, you know,
everything.
What I was headed for. Okay, so that's me, a grown woman, mature in Christ. If I could feel that, how do the children feel when they're having a perfectly fine day, somebody bites their head off, and now they come to Sunday school or release time, and they're not having a good day anymore? No, we need to show them, and we need to care for them. And we have to want to remember, this is not, maybe they might not be the usual way that they are. And even with our coworkers, is this a one-time thing, or is this how they always are? right? And either way, what's our responsibility?
Show them love, mercy.
Show them love, that's right. Mercy and grace. The twins.
Yeah, amen.
Let's read this together. This is David Livingstone. He says, it's our business to teach children about sin and the Savior without even a hint about a certain age to accept Christ. Well, we'll wait till you're 8 for you to accept Christ. I'm not going to give my, I've heard many say this, well, we don't give an invitation, not until they're going into middle school or going
into... Yeah, they
said
that's age of accountability. What's the age of accountability as soon as they wake up in the morning?
Actually, they need it before junior high. That's a terrible time.
Yeah.
Cornish and everything, you know. They need to know grade school. They need to know Sunday school really young.
And they can start being taught in preschool, right? In the nursery.
Yeah.
Or maybe even in the womb.
Jim Daly said... He accepted Christ here in California. I forget which city. When he was a kid, it was the first time he knew somebody loved him. And he was quite young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that he knew how Christ loved him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because somebody taught him.
Yes. See, I grew up without that love. I grew up a very rough home. Mm-hmm. And it was not till I was 39 years old that I received Christ. Mm-hmm. And I began to understand that there's someone who loves me, just me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm the only one in the whole world. That, and all those things that I had been through, he was with me that whole time. Mm-hmm. I may not have known him as Jesus Christ, my Savior, but as his little child, mm-hmm. He's there with us, isn't he? He's watching over us. Mm-hmm. Even at 30, and 41, I still didn't know any better. I should have, but I did not. I did not know Christ as Savior. I knew he was Jesus' son, God's son. And I know he died on the cross. Okay, but I didn't know that he is God. God's son, also God. And that he died on the cross for my sin, for me. Just like I was the only person in the whole world. But when I came to that clear understanding, yes, I knew that there was a different thing in him. And that he had been with me all through my life. Yeah. The Holy Spirit will, in due time, convict them of sin. We don't have to keep pounding them with it. And do you want to receive Christ? You need to receive Christ. You need to be a child of God. Are you a child of God yet? You need to be. You don't want to die. You know, I have heard all these things. I have heard all these different, coming from teachers. That's why I go visit them without notice. The Holy Spirit will in due time convict them of sin. When he convicts of sin, whatever the age, who are we to dare to interfere with his work?
Mm-hmm.
We don't say, no, you're too young, right? It is at this of all times that we show our sympathetic interest. Any child is old enough to accept Christ when he realizes that his sin is against God and that because of that sin, he is lost without Christ. He starts to realize a little bit at a time, right? Teachings of Christ, Scripture commands. Don't debate the age that a child should be evangelized. It's often debated. Christ begins a section in Matthew 18. Will you turn to Matthew 18, 1 through 14? So we're going to read that. I would encourage you as teachers to use your Bible when teaching children. Not your computer or not your iPad, but
right,
your paper.
And have them find it in the scripture.
Pardon?
And the children look for it too.
So Matthew 18, 1 through 14. Does everybody have it? Does anybody have it?
No.
Did everybody bring the Bible?
No. I didn't know. Mine was in my chair, but my son moved it out.
Okay.
Before my chair.
All right. Miss Jean?
I left it in the other room with my.
Okay.
And my phone Bible's not working for some reason.
I was trying to connect me for the internet. Okay, here we go. That's all right.
That's
all right. Nobody's getting their candy on the way out.
Oh, we all feel.
Let me try to use this church.
That's okay. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone, a big rock, fastened around his neck, and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away."
Well,
I don't know if they're actually mean chop chop.
No, it's hyperbole.
"It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the entire fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. See that you don't despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone crazy, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So he asks, who's the greatest? He's saying the children are the greatest. And the phrases that he's using for little child is a Greek term that means, I mean, for child means little child. And further on, when he talks about a little child, he's talking about a little child.
I like that.
Yeah. So, we're required to enter the kingdom as little children, depending humbly on God. Just like the children need us to make them food and to put them in.
They accept it on faith and their understanding.
Yes. When I believe it, I've heard, even for myself, when I read the whole Bible and I knew what it was about, then I was going to go to church. And, okay, well, I did get through the New Testament. And then I got in a bicycle accident. And I couldn't wait to get myself to church. All of this that I didn't know didn't matter. I wanted to praise God that I survived and was able to walk myself to the emergency. My plan and God's plan, as we all know, they don't match. Except when we glorify Him, of course. He wants us to have that saving faith, that believe in me faith. He uses the same words in Matthew 18 as he does in John 3:16. For believe in me. Acts 16:31, we talked about that again. Believe and you will be saved. He is perfect. In all his ways, he's perfect. He doesn't call us to be perfect. He calls us to believe in him. So where I was waiting to know the Bible and be better than I was. I'm still waiting on that, to be better than I am. He had his own plan. God always has his own plan for each one of us. Requirement to enter as little children, and we're called the same. We are called for the very same thing. Lord puts great value on little children. Children and little children, even the little tiny ones, they're important to him. He says, do not despise the children. I'm an adult. I know what's going on. How many have been corrected by a little child? Not intentionally for them to embarrass you, but...
We love them, too.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I have. Yeah. I think we all have. Especially those with grandchildren.
Yeah.
I don't have small grandchildren close by, so I got out of that one.
I don't either.
Okay, so the importance of a child, even as they use the parable of the lost sheep, he's still talking about the little ones. Children are under attack. On every side, the world's influence is calling them, calling at them.
Worse now than ever.
Like hands that are reaching, you know, I wonder, I try to look back and I talk to people that is it worse than ever or is it just different?
Oh, no.
You know, through the ages, the times have changed, yeah. So what was acceptable and not acceptable, you know, in the 50s or the 40s,
worse than ever.
we watched those old movies, so we said,
yeah.
That's some of that stuff that is not new to today, it was going on back then, some of that stuff. Some stuff that's going on now. Of course, they didn't have internet. Or texting. Or cell phones.
They're exposed to everything now.
YouTube. Yeah. So now it's all handy. Handy, right?
Oh, yes.
At your fingertips. Yeah. Somebody asked me today, are you on Facebook here? And I said, oh, no.
Oh,
I get lost. I'll get lost.
Oh, yes. You can get lost in those messages.
The time will pass and I'll still be there. It's like chocolate. I can't have a little bit of chocolate. I can. Some people can, but children are ready to receive Christ. They have open hearts, open and ready hearts. And so many people are still skeptical about a child's conversion. But they're... there is no verse in the whole Bible that says that a child cannot come into a personal relationship with God through faith in Christ. They have open and ready hearts. They are humble and teachable and trusting. And even the difficult children, there's something there that has them. They're hurting too. It may come out different, but they're hurting too.
You know, before my class, we always pray. Well, the bus driver and I pray first for the students. And then when the students come on, we would pray for the students that are on the bus, and I would ask them if they had anything to pray about, you know. And then usually most of them tell me, you know, or I told them if they didn't want to talk about it then, they could talk about it afterwards, you know, and we get prayer for it later. So most of them do ask for prayer.
We use a God can, because God can.
Right.
So we give them little pieces of paper and to write their prayer requests. They just have to write a word or a couple of words, or if they need help, teacher will help them. And we have them put it in a can, and with a specific so that it says that it's a reminder that God can.
That's cute. God can make with the notes of the can.
Children are easily hardened.
I just can. It says God can. I put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Put that little prayer in there too. Give it to God.
Charles Spurgeon says a child of 5, if properly instructed, can truly believe and be regenerated as an adult. The same way.
Mm-hmm.
He says, my conviction is not that our converts from among children are among the best that we have. I should judge you. My conviction is that our converts from among children are among the best that we have. I should judge them to have been more numerously genuine than any other class, more constant, and in the long run, more solid. We need to reach them now, as God has commanded, because tomorrow or in a year from now, their heart may be hardened to the things of the Lord and His Word.
Right.
There's no guarantee.
Look at all this junk on TV they gotta be seeing, you know. There's a lot of stuff on TV that they absorb.
Oh, yeah. And if we're not careful, so do we. Yeah. Children can be born again.
Yes, they can.
They have more years to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. More preachers and evangelists have come to Christ as children. Corrie Ten Boom and Ruth Graham came to Christ at age 5.
Yeah, I love Corrie Ten Boom.
If all the facts are revealed, we would probably be astounded at the number of prominent Christians who were saved as children.
I didn't know that about Corrie Ten Boom.
Remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts. Mm-hmm. We are called to share the truth.
Right.
That's important, because we start wanting to mix some of our own stuff in there and pressure them. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I have seen teachers pressure children.
Yeah, no, that's bad.
Our children are dependent upon us to show them the way to Christ. Through our teaching, of course through the Bible, but also through our love and our kindness and our gentleness. Our gentle hand, and our gentle tone.
Amen.
I have a big voice, so my tone isn't sweet and gentle. I have to really work for it to be that. So, but I recognize that. And so I would encourage each one of you to also have your ears perked for your own voice.
Amen.
Not the voice in your heart, but the true voice that comes out of you.
Spirit-controlled voice.
Yes.
A what? Yeah.
Spirit-controlled
voice.
That's it.
I'll leave it at that. The future, they are the future of our nation. Let's see what Stephen Alford says. I believe in child evangelism for 3 reasons, he says. First, because I was born again when I was only 7. Second, because the history of general evangelism shows that by far the greatest proportion of conversions take place before age 20.
I thought it was 14.
The greatest proportion of conversions take place before age 20. Mm-hmm. Third, because the Bible makes it plain that youth is a time to return to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Ecclesiastes 12:1. Mm-hmm. The greatest number of people that have been reached are between 4 and 14. Because after that, their heart hardened. As I've been told, I'm grown now. When my...
You're confused.
Yeah. I was raising my half-brother, and when he turned 13, he told me, "You don't tell me what to do now. I'm grown."
Guess again.
Pardon?
I said you should have told him, guess again. They're still growing.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did not handle it as gentle and loving as I should have. But we were clear on who's running the house. And that's not even in Christ. That was just, and later on he told me, when I'm done having fun, he was raised in the, you know, because I came to Christ at 39. I had him since he was 4 years old. And so he started Good News Club when I started Good News Club. And after, when he was about 14, he said, now 13, he'd already said, I don't tell him what to do. At 14, he says, I want to have all my fun. When I'm done having my fun, then I'll come back to Jesus. I'll come back to Jesus when I have all my fun. 8 or 9 now.
Mm-hmm.
Periodically, he'll call me up. He lives in Texas, and he'll call me up and says, "Mama, I need Jesus." Whoa. Well, you knew that when you were 14.
Yeah.
I remind him.
Mm-hmm. You prophesied over yourself.
But he saw it though when he was 39.
Yeah, he did.
That's,
he did.
So he didn't know Jesus until 39?
No. He knew Jesus when he was 14. 13. When he was 8.
He's doing every day until he was 39.
Yeah, but he wanted to have all his fun.
Right.
But now he was in jail, so I think he thought.
Oh, well, I think his fun is over.
What?
His fun is over?
His fun is over.
So he has time for the Lord now.
Well, I don't know how it all works. You know, God will work it all out.
God uses it for his glory.
I don't. God, address it one way or the other. I just let him speak, let him share what's on his mind. I pray with him, and I just leave it at that.
Yeah, God will work it out.
God will work it out.
Amen.
And, when people remind me that all the things I need to do, I remind them that God will work it out.
Work it out. Amen.
Especially those that are non-Christians will tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
Don't. That's a red flag. Don't do it.
Right. Children have more years to serve the Lord. They're dependent on us. They are our nation's future.
Yeah.
It's been said, if you win a child for Christ, you have saved an entire life. If you win an adult, you may have only saved a soul. Not that saving a soul is bad.
Right.
But God's called us to children. That's our calling. We're called to children. Not that we don't share it with whoever we come in contact. But we are called for children.
Sometimes it's harder to share with adults.
It is harder.
The timing has to be right, and it's hard to wait and know what to say.
Yes. Or you can offend them forever.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll avoid you forever, I should say,
because
you're going to start talking that Jesus talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
If children are not taught, generations can fall away. So we want to win a child for Christ. Now is the time to reach children. 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us now is the time to reach children. So why do we evangelize children? God, there's six points there of why. Because God's message is for everyone. Children are lost. God commands us. Children are under attack in the same way that we are. It may be a little bit different about different things, but they're still under attack. And I said earlier, it's not any different now than it was in the 40s. Well, I'll take that back, because they didn't have it at their fingertips.
It's also our future, their future, but ours too, because we want each generation to know.
Children are under attack. Children can be born again, and children are the future of our nation.
There you go.
Let's read Psalm 78, 1 through 8. Can somebody do that? Miss...
I
brought two Bibles, and of course I pulled out the wrong Bible. No, but is it wrong?
78:1-8. Okay, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from the children, but tell them to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, amen, and not forget the works of God, but keep his command. Through 8, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Through 8? Verse 8. Okay, mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Father, precious Lord, we thank you for each person here and each person at the conference.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that the love of Christ would constrain each of us to go, to reach, and to teach children for Christ where we live. May we extend to those around the world who are eager to hear the way to God and eternal life. Lord, we touch the hearts of each one here and ask, with the question, are they willing to be part of God's plan to continue to evangelize boys and girls, to encourage others to evangelize boys and girls, and to come alongside others to evangelize the boys and the girls. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
You are free to roam.
And we are missionaries. I'm trying to think of a story I heard. It was from China, and it was about a village. There was this village that was just green and flourishing compared to the other villages that were broken down and decrepit. And this guy inquired about it, and they said that an evangelist had come there, you know, years ago, like 100 years ago, and shared the gospel with one person, and that one person told others, and it kept spreading to the whole village.
And
the whole village was changed, and they took pride in their country, and God blessed their village, and it had spread to everybody there.
That's a wonderful story.
Yeah, it is. Village. Yeah, I've got to find it again.
Yes, and then send it to me.
I just loved it. Yeah. And I like how we're doing missionary stories. We're introducing missionary stories in our classes, and it's so fun to do that. And the last two have been about Chinese missionaries that have gone there. And they felt very unqualified, and they were, and they had to learn the language, but they went.
Right.
And that's what we do. Go to
Paris. If you got a chance, go on YouTube and type in Courage and Boom and listen to her.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
We have to do what we can and go, like Steph said.
Amen.
I them over for dinner.
We have another class or what?
Another one coming. We have a few minutes. You'd have a little break until 11.
How do you get out of here?
Door knob.
How do you get out of here?
Give me your water.
My throat is so dry. Did I need anything over there? I don't think
you got it all.
Jenny, can you show me something? How do you show? Well, I've got a question. How do you show?
Is there anything you need?
I found one in here.
Okay. Sally, can I ask you a question? We've been doing a little bit of signing, and I did God Answers Prayer, but I want, God is so good.
Yeah.
And when we say it, the kids just smile. Okay, but I want to know how to do God Answers Prayer. Is God?
I don't know what answers is. Yeah, you have to look
that's
up
the word I don't know.
Answer.
I looked in
looked at ASL. ASL.com. American Sign Language.
ASL.